Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After 31 years of providing arts programming from their location at the corner of Princess and Victoria Street, the Kingston School of Art is giving up their space due to financial challenges. Founded in 1994, KSOA has served as a cornerstone of the local art community, providing accessible classes, supplies, and exhibitions, including their annual juried exhibition. However, the decision to leave their physical space does not mean KSOA is closing its doors. KSOA Board President Christian Wojcik spoke with CFRC about the challenges that led to this decision and what's next for the school. I was wondering if you could speak to the financial challenges that led to this decision to move.
Sure. It's really a little bit complex. So KSOA is incredibly unique and really fortunate in one way, which is we were completely volunteer run for most of the 30-year history. And so what that means is we didn't have any employees that really belonged to KSOA until around 2020, 2021. Everything that was done with KSOA was done through volunteer engagements. You know, obviously we had people that we paid. We employed teaching artists throughout that time, but we didn't have, say, like a director or administrative staff. The board of directors as volunteers were running everything. So that kept overhead costs really low because we didn't have salaries for staff who were really running all the mechanics of KSOA. And then during COVID, the previous board, so just prior to my time, really decided through some strategic analysis that for KSOA to grow, but also survive after COVID and be able to adapt to changing models and some complex funding, we needed staff. And so we hired staff at that point, and it's been an experiment for the last couple of years of us figuring out funding models and how do we keep paying our artists the wage that they are entitled to while keeping the cost of classes as low as possible so that we still fulfill our mission as a community art school. But things like overhead salaries and then other increases just in the general cost of things. Our rent has gone up, utilities have gone up, materials costs have gone up, everything else. It's really made it difficult to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. And how will KSOA continue to serve the community? What's the plan?
So it's still under development, but we're really excited about the steps that we're taking so far. So part of the plan is obviously to give up our physical space at Princess and Victoria. That was the public announcement just recently. But by no means means that we're closing. That facility has been amazing to us. We've actually been with the same landlord for 30 years. We've simply just outgrown the space in terms of the model, and we really feel like what the community needs from us. So we've spent a couple of months engaging with other partners in the art sector and really asking, what is the purpose of KSOA now? 30 years is a long time. We're older than the Tet Center. We're older than a lot of other arts sector availabilities and classes and things that you can do in Kingston. They weren't here when we started. So looking at 2025, you know, what does the community really need from us? We're a nonprofit charity, and if we don't really have a mission we're fulfilling, then maybe it is time to just bow out. But the message we've gotten was no, KSOA is needed, and we really need to go back to our core focus, which is in arts instruction. That's something that's just not happening within the community here through any other agency, the way that we do it and the way that we have mastered that for three decades. So the idea is to focus on arts instruction and to bring that into some underutilized spaces throughout the community. So what you would be looking to see from KSOA later in 2025 and then on into the future would be art classes being held in different spaces across Kingston, maybe areas of town where art classes are not currently being offered, in spaces, buildings that you know, are closed for part of the week that might be perfect spots to create art and to bring people together, but they're just underutilized after hours or on weekends. And so that's what we really want to start later this year is, you know, getting rid of our own kind of overhead lease obligations and using other spaces more efficiently to bring arts more community-based. We're also working on some additional plans with a working group right now that includes representation from the whole art sector, as well as the city, local artists, and others, because we have one unique asset in our public sort of community engagement with the printmaking machines. So KSOA really started because we ended up in possession of quite an extensive set of printmaking equipment. So printing presses and everything that goes with that. All of these came from St. Lawrence College back in the early 90s when they closed their printmaking program. That is material that we can't exactly cart around town because it's thousands of pounds, literally, of material. So the side project we're working on is this working group to find a new home, a new purpose for all of this printmaking equipment. And so that may end up being a little side project of KSOA along with some of our partners, whether that's a printmakers guild or a community print shop that KSOA is running so that artists can continue to access that equipment, but it just makes more sense for our financial model.
Well, not having those lease obligations and finding more creative ways to use spaces, is that going to kind of cover those financial challenges that you're dealing with? Or will there have to be other changes, like changes to staff or things like that?
We hope that this does it. So right now we have gone back to a model where the board is running everything again. We're back to where we were a few years ago, where we do not have staff at this moment. That's certainly been a challenge for the board. We're volunteers and most of us work full time. So we're doing this with the time that we have to get this launched. We do expect to rehire a staff person as a operational coordinator with the new community-based model. But for the moment, it's all being run off volunteers. So we hope that by doing a little bit of a reset with our overhead expenses, staffing, et cetera, and using information we've been gathering over the last couple of months for what the highest in-demand courses are, really concentrating our efforts around those things that the community wants for us, we think that that's going to be the ticket for stabilizing our finances and making a model that allows us to continue well into the future.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be moving forward, as you mentioned, hopefully with one staff member coming back. How many staff members did you have prior to these changes?
It changes throughout the year, particularly during the summer when we had been running things like summer camps, where we did have a number of student staff or summer staff. But we did have one full-time and one part-time staff member before these changes. One of those we did lose because of these changes, and the other was a temporary position that they've moved on to other employment here in the community, which we're happy about.
Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in this limbo phase right now. You mentioned the big print machines and all the other supplies that are currently at KSOA. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to where that's all at and how you guys are handling that.
Yeah. So it's a great question. There's a couple different pieces to it. So right now, actually, through the entire month of February and probably into March, we are doing an ongoing book and art sale. 30 years, you accumulate a lot of stuff, and some of it is great. To be fair, some of it ends up being dried out acrylics that we just are doing some clean out of things. But there's certainly things around there that local artists or enthusiasts would want to get their hands on. So anybody can stop by the Window Art Gallery, which is part of KSOA. That's the Victoria Street entrance to the facility. And there is an ongoing book and art sale in the WAG right now for the entire month of February. So it's pay what you can for most items. We have hundreds of art books. We have odd pieces of printmaking and art, things that are from classes, sample sales, all sorts of stuff that we've kind of dug out of the archives there in the physical space while we're starting to look at packing up and cleaning up 30 years worth of things in that creative space. So certainly we'd encourage anybody, if you're looking for art books, if you are a muralist, a collage artist, anybody who wants to take things, cut them up, there's books, huge books, as cheap as $5. For the most part, things are pay what you will. And we're using that money just as a fundraiser for the school and to help sort some of the costs that come with moving, like boxes and, you know, disposal fees. A lot of the assets we're going to be hanging on to and moving just into storage space. So things that are really essential to running art classes, like our easels, equipment that works well. So small art supplies, you know, various things like that. We're going to be moving into offsite storage. And then with the community model, we would be bringing those things to the places where we are teaching classes. There's going to be stuff that we are unloading. Right now, the board is talking about having a public sale probably in early April, and we'd be making an announcement about that on our social channels as well as our website, where this would be anything that we don't want to take with us that's still sort of we uncover that's useful. That could be art supplies, brushes, canvas, could be tables and chairs, fixtures, different things that we just feel it's time to let go of. We're planning for a public sale probably in early April that anybody who's looking for stuff for their studio is going to want to keep on their radar.
Once again, that was Christiane Wojcik, KSOA board president, on the school's decision to say goodbye to their home of 31 years. Wojcik also noted that art lovers can stay tuned for belated 30th anniversary celebrations in summer 2025. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is the latest Queen's Campus news updates on Campus Corner.
Hello folks, this is Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. This week, the Queen's Bangladeshi Student Association, commonly known as QBSA, is celebrating International Mother Language Day on Friday, 21st February. Today in studio, we have Mr. Raqib Jahan with us. He is the Cultural Secretary of QBSA, and he will be talking to us about this event. Hello, Mr. Raqib. Thanks for joining us in studio today. Can you give our audience a quick introduction of QBSA and the upcoming International Mother Language Day event?
Well, QBSA is an organization to bring a sense of community within the Queen's Bangladeshi students community, and to help them to go through their academic life, their professional life, and most probably social life as well. And also, we try to organize and celebrate Bangladeshi culture here in distance. So I think that that's what QBSA do mostly. And in terms of the International Mother Language Day, it's mostly for to celebrate the linguistic and cultural diversity, which is very much important to Queen's community, and also for the Bangladeshi students community, it holds so much values.
Right, that sounds amazing. So we do understand that Queen's is a university that embraces native languages and promotes new linguistics. But why would you say that the International Mother Language Day is important for the Queen's community and particularly the QBSA?
It's because of it actually honors and it pays respect to the sacrifices made by those who fought for the Bengali language during the language movement in 1952. It's an unique event at the history where people were sacrificing their life for their mother tongue. So it's a day to reflect on that important day and also to preserve your native language and to raise awareness for your own mother tongue or native language for your identity, culture, and communication.
Yes, I hold the deepest respect for those who were part of the 1952 language movement. Sliding our conversation to a bit lighter mood, we were speaking of the event off-air and I got a little scoop of the food lineup. Looks like a fantastic spread of Bengali cuisine is on the menu, but aside from the delicious bites, let's talk about entertainment. What can attendees expect from this year's event?
Well, they can expect cultural expression through various types of performances, speeches, then interactive activities to show, and there will be participants from all over, from different types of cultures, nations, and they will represent their own culture through their traditional music. It can be music, dance, and poetry. So it will be they can expect a good type of variational cultures. So I think that it will be a great opportunity for them to engage with a larger culture or a different, a larger community of Queens.
Right. So if a Queens student wants to get involved in the performances, how may they do so?
It's very easy. You have to come to the QBS Facebook page or official Instagram pages, that where you can get the link to register for the performance. And it's, and there are performance for the kids as well and teenagers. There is an art exhibition, and for the adult ones, they can participate through dance, music, and also if any kind of performance are welcomed, and there will be some indigenous performances also. So there are, we are trying to be very much inclusive through that. So there will be a lot of performances.
Amazing. So lastly, how do you see this event growing in the future?
Well, as it is an international event, and like almost from 1999, it has been observing throughout the world. So I will hope that its scope will be more larger than now. Like Queens, all communities will participate in this event, and as well, like in school and colleges all over the Canada and Queens University, they will try to observe and organize this event to have a sense of community culture and to represent their own culture. So I think it's a very big opportunity as well for them. So as the community is growing, so I think that can be a way to go.
Great. And that brings us to the very last part of our segment. So any final message for students thinking of attending?
I think don't hesitate, and it's an incredible opportunity to be connected and to represent yourself, and you will know about each other as well. So it will be a very fun event as well. So, and it's also very meaningful. So I think why not? So come, and we are here to welcome you.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Rakib, for coming to our studio and talking about the upcoming event. It was a pleasure to have you in our studio. Folks, we were in conversation with Mr. Rakib Jahan. He is the cultural director of Queens Bangladesh Student Association, and they are organizing an event on 21st February in account of the International Mother Language Day. And that's a wrap. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queens Campus. Stay tuned for more updates. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the City of Kingston. Wednesday, February 19th, daytime high of -7, overnight low of -15, and it will be sunny throughout the day. Thursday, February 20th, we're going to see slightly warmer conditions with a daytime high of -6, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of flurries, and an overnight low of -11. Friday, February 21st, we will see a daytime high of -4 with an overnight low of -12 and a mix of sun and cloud throughout the day. Saturday, February 22nd, slightly warmer, daytime high of -2, overnight low of -11 with cloudy conditions. And Sunday, February 23rd, daytime high of -2 with an overnight low of -7. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, February 17th, 2025. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. In terms of parking disruptions, bear in mind the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrade to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work began in February 2024 and is set to conclude in July of 2025. Other road delays and closures you should be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abidjan to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidjan Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with events, on Wednesday, One Eye Jats will be hosting board game nights starting at 7. Also on Wednesday, Musiki will be hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing and making new friends. Another thing on Wednesday, Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will be hosting their trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. Next up on Thursday, Daft Brewing will be hosting Queerioki starting at 8 p.m. There's a $5 cover at the door. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, Step Africa takes the stage at the Kingston Grand Theater, blending percussive dance, African traditions, and contemporary styles. A post-show talk with local artist Shanique Pert follows this performance, which itself starts at 7:30. Tickets are available online. Also on Friday, The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On both Saturday and Sunday, the Kingston Cat Show, hosted by the Canadian Cat Association, l'Association Feline Canadienne, will be taking place at Portsmouth Harbour from 9 to 4 p.m. Tickets are available online for those interested. Also on Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday, Boozy Bingo is returning to Tommy's Diner starting at 9 tonight. The Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will be taking place from 9 to 1 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendar. For concerts, coming up on Wednesday, the bands Dear Rouge and Bleaker will be playing a show at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are available online for around $25. Hotel Wolf Island will be hosting its free weekly open mic starting at 8:30 p.m. The group Choir 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 will be performing a sold-out show at the Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. For Thursday, folks can head over to Hotel Wolf Island to catch Open Season with Chris Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer from 7:45 to 9:45. Also on Thursday, the Brockville-based Indian alternative band The Sun-Dried Flies will be playing a show at the Toucan starting at 10:30. This Friday has a lot going on, with the club at the RCHA having an early performance from the Smokin' Roosters from 4 to 6, and a second performance a bit later at 8 by the group Sittin' Ducks. Tiernanog has groups booked, Elastic Band, Paula Wood, The Killdeers, and Savannah Shea on from 8:30 to 11:30. Also on Friday, the Royal Tavern has Savannah Shea again on from 5 to 7, and then the group No Limits from 9 to 12. Hotel Wolf Island has the group Good Co. and musician Daryl Hannah set to play starting at 8:30, and the Toucan is hosting Graven Band starting at 10:30. On Saturday, the Kingston-based band The Backsteps will be performing their final show at The Mansion starting at 8. This performance has a $15 cover charge. Kevin and the Kitchen Sink will be on at the Tiernanog at 9. Also on Saturday, alt-rock group Finger 11 will be playing at the Grand starting at 7:30. Tickets for their show are available online for around $44.50. On Sunday, the Finnish string quartet Metaphor will be performing at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 2:30 to 4:30. Tickets for this performance are going for between $15 and $72 and are available online. Also on Sunday, Orchestra Kingston will be performing at the Spire starting at 2:30, with tickets going for $25 and free entry for those under 16. And finally, Savannah Shea will be playing at Musiki from 4 to 6 p.m. Have a concert you'd like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on our Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, Be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.